What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Come At Me, Bro. This is episode 35. I am one of your hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
Hey, hey, hey.
And our resident Buffalo Bills fan, Tyler.
Let's go, Buffalo. 3 month of vacation is over. School is pretty much now back in session, unfortunately. It's been a great hibernation period hanging out with Leo, and now I have to go back to work.
Oh. I gotta say, I loved your all's first day of summer, last day of summer picture. Very cool.
I don't know how he just, like, I don't know if you noticed the last bit, or the end picture. He, like, has his, like, elbow on my shoulder like he owns me or something. Like,
yeah, oh, yeah, he definitely looked in control.
I was like, that's not...
I mean, I love the cars in the background, personally. The fact that you had no neighbors, it looked like, at the beginning, and then there's, like, 12 cars in the second photo.
Everyone just decides to follow us in the neighborhood, you know? I don't understand
it.
It's
Leo.
Yeah, it's Leo. Leo just attracts people. So I don't understand it. How
so you
he
get
does
that
it.
From you, Tyler.
I don't attract anyone. I repel everyone, so I still don't know why my wife's with me, but...
Oh, you're like a magnet. Don't even.
She's stuck with you now.
She is kind of stuck, so... but everyone else is just repelled, so... I think I haven't been putting on deodorant lately, so...
Okay.
It's been pretty stinky.
You know, they say there's a study now where there's some people who are saying that you shouldn't use soap.
Okay, no, okay. You shouldn't use...
People have problems.
No, see, here's the thing. It's the type one. It's the type of soap, and it's how often you use that soap. If you use that soap every day, then yeah, then that's not good for you. But there's certain. I know for a fact there's certain deodorants that have aluminum in it, whether it be like Axe or the gel stuff. They have aluminum, so you're putting that in your armpits, so it's probably not good for you. But definitely, you shouldn't be taking a shower every day, because back in the old days, people didn't take showers, and they turned out fine.
How do you feel about charcoal?
And they die at the age of 40.
Yeah, I have that stuff, charcoal, beeswax nonsense. I mean, it is what it is.
I haven't tried beeswax.
Beeswax is pretty soft. It's really soft.
Okay, before we jump into all these topics, I do have to say thank you to the listeners. Guys, we've had a lot of listeners lately. This last episode in particular, we've had a ton of positive feedback on, so thank you for that. It was a great episode, I do have to say so myself, but a lot of great comments. I've been getting text messages and all different messages on Discord as well about it. So thank you guys for listening, and we hope you stick with us for episodes in the future.
Very cool. This thank you very much.
Yeah, and I would love to hear that feedback, Joey. Is there any good things? I'm sure after the episode we can do that. But what our listeners haven't really heard is called the look-alike game. Now, I'll spread these out throughout this episode. So, I want to start with a couple warm-ups, and then I'll spread them throughout. But the look-alike game is pretty much, I'm going to give you a certain person, and you may want to look these people up before I say it. But a couple of them oft. Antonio Brown will be one of them, Adam Silver, Bryce Harper, Julian Edelman, Mitch Trubisky, Dak Prescott. Give you an example. Does Mitch Trubisky look like a guy who would look at you while eating a banana? Okay, does Dak Prescott look like the school resource officer telling you not to do drugs?
Oh, my gosh. I already see that one.
Does... Antonio Brown looked like someone you would see on a magazine for different types of barber cuts. So we'll spread those out throughout the show. But my big thing right now, and I don't know, it's kind of been in the news. I went to a baseball game yesterday. It was the Nats and the Milwaukee Brewers. And at one point, it was 10-0 in the bottom of the fourth. And... You know, with the Nats, though, you never know. I mean, literally the previous game before that, they were up 11-8 in the bottom of the eighth, and they lost 15-14. So, I mean, the Nats always give up 4 runs, 5 runs in the ninth. So you can't count on that. But some of these other teams, like the Yankees, the Dodgers, teams that are up by 10 or more, some or even 8, it got me thinking, like, should there be a mercy rule? And I'm kind of curious what you guys think. I know the outfielder Boone wants or Judge, whoever it was, one of the Yankees players, thinks it'd be good to have one. Do you guys think it's good to have a mercy rule for baseball or any professional
sport?
It's
interesting because you're seeing this more right now because the Little League World Series has it, and they've had to have a couple of those kind of games. I see it for Major League Baseball. I haven't given it any thought for other leagues, so I'll think about that here in a second, and then I'll get back to you. But I can kind of see it with Major League Baseball when you have a second baseman who's having to come into the game and and pitch an inning or two, because you're not going to burn, you know, a good arm from your bullpen for a game that's over. Like, why not have the option for the game to end when you know that that's it and it's just a waste of everybody's time? I guess the only issue there is you have, you know, fans and the cost of getting into the game and whatnot, but a lot of those fans have left at that point. So I don't know. I don't know what the numbers should be or where the line should be, but I could see it, and I'm not opposed to the idea of it coming to fruition.
No, I mean,
it's a tough one, to be honest. I mean, because you can go either way on this coin pretty easily. Like, yeah, you can argue the whole fan advantage, but then on the other side, you could argue, well, hey, the fans want the players to stay healthy, and they don't want them overextended in the game. I think the bigger issue is that we've had these deficits before, and there have been comebacks before, even 10 runs down or plus. So the fact that the comeback potential is still there, as it is in just about any sport, I think is one of the bigger drawbacks on this.
No, you're not coming back from 10 runs.
I'm pretty sure they've done it multiple times before.
Okay, you're not, but please show me. Please give me some statistics. Because the likelihood of that happening is, where's our stats person? It's very unlikely, especially with these days with people just hitting balls out of the park. To me, it doesn't make sense for you to keep playing after 7 innings and you're up by 15 runs. Like, that just
Here we go. So Blue Jays came back from 10 runs down in 2014. The Rockies did it in 2016.
What inning was it, though?
12-run deficit deleted by the Indians in 2013. So, like, I mean, yes, it's few and far between, but I'd also argue that these blowout games are few and far between. Like, you might see some wins by, like, 6 runs, 7 runs. I don't feel like you see double-digit wins all that crazy often. It'll be more often than these comebacks, obviously, but it's still not that crazy.
Well, with home runs being the name of the game, I think you're going to see an increased number of runs and with an increased number of strikeouts, but I think you're going to see more of these double-digit wins as we keep going. And it just, to me, I think it would almost, if you incentivize the, say we'll call them the mercy rule, and say if you're up by 10 runs by the 7th, game's over. I think how the different mindset of the team of the teams would be, because you're either not gonna, you know for a fact you're not catching up because your second baseman is pitching, or you save your pitcher and say, yeah, you know what, we'll just play 7 innings. There's 162 games. You know what? We'll go to the next game. We'll get them there. It would go from 4-hour, 5-hour games, because it was 10 to nothing, and where I was in the Nats Park on Sunday, it was a 135 game. They were up 10-0 in the bottom of the 4th. Brewers literally had no shot. It looked like they had no shot. Of course, the end of the game was 16-8. But I think it was 15-4 at one point in the top of the 7th. And we're like, all right, we're leaving. Like, there's no point in... It was down at the bottom of the 7th. We left at the end because we were like, we don't need to be here anymore. The game's over. Now, somehow, because they're Nats, they gave up 4 runs in the 9th. But, but you know, it's still, I think it would speed up the game. And it would make baseball fun again a little bit. But my question to you guys now is, does Bryce Harper look like a homeless person who urinates in the corner of a Metro?
No.
Depends on how recently he shaved.
Yeah, that might be true. He got a little bushy there for a while.
Does Julian Edelman look like a kindergartner who would beat you up for your lunch money?
Gotta say, that might be my first one that I don't fully see.
Yeah, that's okay. A no for me, bro.
All right, that's fine. Does John Gruen look like the granddaddy of Chucky from the horror film?
There's a reason his nickname is Chucky.
Oh,
that's
my
for
gosh.
Sure.
So I think there should be a mercy rule in baseball. I just think it would make the game a little more interesting, and it would get teams to actually compete and then say, you know what, if we want to wave the white flag, we can go on to the next game. Because there's 162 games. I don't know why you need to put your second – you should never have to put your second baseman as a pitcher. Unless you're in
the
16th inning.
And I think that's the key for the argument. The length of the games is the big thing here. I mean, when you look at other sports, it's one thing to have it in like an NFL or an NBA even with that many games. But the fact that baseball has so many games, I think that's really where the argument for this comes in. And not as much for the fan perspective as the entertainment of baseball and all that good stuff. But for me, it's the injuries. The fact that you're putting players in positions that they might not be used to playing, or the fact that you're having pitchers throw more regularly. Maybe he pitched yesterday, but you're short on pitchers. So you need to pitch him again. Like, to me, that's the bigger issue. The fact that you see unnecessary injuries caused by games going late that are completely out of hand.
Yeah, and just real quick, going back to you talking about teams making comebacks, you can kind of tell, though, when a game is just coasting to the end. You know, maybe not every game needs to have that mercy rule automatic, but if it's an option, you can definitely tell there are games where that would be what they would do if they could just push that button, wave that flag. So,
how do we feel about, like, once they hit 10 runs, like they're up by 10 runs at the seventh inning, do we give the teams a vote then, or do we automatically end it?
It's very League of Legends. Everybody votes to surrender.
Are you serious? They really do that?
Not in pro play.
Oh my god.
No,
yeah,
no,
in regular play.
You vampires, man. I'm just going to call you vampires now.
All right. But anyway.
You guys don't see the sunlight. Just play games all day.
Let's move on.
Okay, so no, just to stick with baseball, actually, because there are some other interesting ways we could take this. How do you guys feel about ties? Obviously, in America, we are very much no for ties, but it's a big European thing to have ties. Hockey has ties out there. How would you feel about ties in baseball?
No.
Instead of going these extra innings?
No.
I wouldn't mind it.
I'm not going to a baseball game for it to end in a tie.
That would be pretty funny. But yeah,
ties screw up the NFL enough.
It's either a tie or the home team wins, right? I mean, so I think that.
I've been to plenty of overtime games where the home team lost.
Well, in this case, you know, it's an advantage for the home team because you can't lose if it's tied. You can only win or tie. So the home, it's literally home field advantage. Does that make sense?
I would vote no ties as well, but I think it is an intriguing argument. I just don't think Americans can deal with ties as well as Europeans can.
Americans have a lifespan of a freaking lemming.
Well, the problem is our leagues just aren't structured for it. You know, soccer has it because it's a point-based table. You don't have point-based tables in any of the major league sports. So it would be a massive change in how all of those postseason positions are decided. You have to assign those point values, and that changes the entire strategy. I'm not saying it wouldn't work, but you got to change the entire culture to make that happen.
Ties suck. Somebody
should win.
I don't mind ties. I mean, you can't have something in the playoffs. Like, yeah, you got to have a winner in the playoffs for the championship, but, like, ties, I think I'm indifferent. I don't think I would want to be stuck at 9 innings at a game and you know, then leave and say, wow, that was a good game. That was a tie.
Like, that was a great comeback in the 9th inning to tie it up and end the game. Like, no.
All right, here's a question. What's the only sport you don't know the winner or loser of until the end?
You mean like the end of the playoffs or the end?
No, like there's a game, there's a match, there's a sporting event going on, and you do not know who's going to win until the very end of the game. Like, there's...
Boxing.
Thank you, Drew. Now, do boxing... does boxing tie? Can there be a tie in boxing?
You can have a split decision, but I don't think it's a tie.
Double knockout. Yeah, I don't think you can
have a tie. I feel like it's possible, because I think you can have... two judges each score it to a different fighter, and the third judge judge it as a tie. So I think you can technically have ties in boxing.
Well, if you can have ties in boxing, you can definitely have ties in baseball.
Can you have ties in boxing? Draws are relatively rare in boxing. Certain scoring systems make it impossible for a judge to award equal points for a match. If a championship bout ends in a draw, the champion usually retains the title.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
I knew that's how that happened. I guess, do they split the money then too? I don't know what the money split is, if the champion gets the money too, or if they split that.
I'm sure that's in the contract. It's probably different for each fight. You know, and I would imagine probably to some degree the champion has a at least a slightly higher share, just, you know, as the champion.
So are there are there only two sports that, at least in American sports, that can end in a tie?
I mean, there's a ton, but it gets a little bit farther down there.
Because football and hockey both can.
A lot of combat sports will.
No, football can. Football
NFL can end in a tie.
Football can end in a tie.
And so can soccer.
Yep,
so
soccer.
Can hockey.
Hockey can.
No, they go to a shootout.
No, I thought they went to draws.
In the
now.
Regular season?
No, they go to a shootout.
They went to draws.
No, they go to. No, you can't tie in hockey. It's overtime losses. That's what you guys are
thinking
of.
Oh, yeah, you might be right.
It's overtime losses. There's no ties in hockey.
Yeah.
So, that's not a tie. That's you lost in overtime.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Then you still get a point. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
of.
You get a point.
That's what I was thinking of. The additional.
If baseball went to, say, a point system, something like hockey, where if they went to extra innings, you got a point. That would be pretty cool.
I think it comes down to that, excitement versus player safety factor again. Like, for excitement purposes, if they're down 3-3 at the end of the game and you're in the ninth inning and you go down and you hit ninth inning at the bottom and three outs and you're still at 3-3, I mean, people are excited. The crowd is still there. Everyone's still interested and invested, as opposed to, what you were mentioning earlier, being down 10 runs at the seventh inning. But on the flip side, you're still taking them extra innings without those ties, so the difference for player safety is still kind of there.
Joey, there are 162 games. You know what? This is a AAA game. My father, we would always leave at the eighth inning, no matter what the score was. It could be tied. It could be a blowout. It could be close. We would always leave at the eighth.
Get out of the crazy parking lot.
Get out of the crazy parking lot, and, hey, it's time to go to bed. I'm like, what the heck? I never saw – I don't think I've ever watched an entire baseball game from beginning to end, whether I'm at it or whether I'm watching on TV.
You've never watched the end on TV, even?
Oh, I'm talking about from beginning to end.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
From when the first pitch was thrown to the last pitch was thrown, I can probably honestly say I've never seen an entire, baseball game. No one's waiting for that. Unless you're a diehard John Byram fan who loves baseball, no one's watching that. I mean, Drew or Joy, can you ever remember the time you actually watched from first pitch to the last pitch?
Yes.
Which game?
Most major league games that I've been to. There's been a couple that I've left early, but most of the time I try to stay for the whole thing because it's not something I go to that often.
Joey?
It depends if I'm with my wife or not. If I'm with my wife, we will be late and miss the first pitch and leave early and miss the last pitch. If I'm with myself, I most likely pre-gamed and then watched the whole game and then stayed after and pre-game or post-game some more. So it really just depends on who I go with.
I've also done it with college softball, for what that's worth.
Well, you watch college softball?
Yeah, Tennessee is really, softball? Really good. And my dad has season tickets, so I'll go to games with him. And those are fun from beginning to end.
I'll go to the College World Series.
I would love to go.
But I don't... I mean, I watched a couple George Mason games back in the day, but I didn't watch the whole thing.
I was friends with our starting pitcher back when we were at Mason.
I'll watch soccer games from start to finish. I'll watch football games from start to finish. I'll watch hockey games from start to finish. Baseball, just no gracias.
You know what I really can't watch start to finish is golf. I cannot imagine following one player through 18
holes.
That's
4 days.
But even just one day of it, just going the whole course, it's 4 hours almost, it feels like, to watch one player go all the way through.
But you're actually I think we can both, not that it's equal, but I've never seen, I know when you're watching a baseball game, you're not looking at every single pitch or hit.
No. Uh-uh.
So with golf, I feel like you could watch every single swing, every single putt for that one player. And it would be a little bit more exciting than watching a baseball game.
Yeah, but there's so much walking in between that. They mic them up and you can hear the conversation and stuff, I mean, that's just putting me to bed.
No, you would not be. You are in the atmosphere. You're potentially seeing other players pass by.
So you're talking being
boring.
Live. I'm talking watching on TV.
No, you can't watch on TV.
I'm talking
on TV. You cannot watch it on TV.
So you can, depending on what the course is. So it's like new technology out there where you can get certain things. You can either watch them through AR versions where you can watch the ball go, or you can get that player cam in a sense. So, or there's hole cams where you can watch a certain hole for the whole tournament. It's like becoming a more up-and-coming thing to try to get new audiences into golf. And it's used in a bunch of other sports throughout. So that's one of the big, big things they're trying to move toward. But I can't imagine watching someone through the whole way.
Okay. The whole cam is like the red zone camera, whatever, the red zone channel.
Now that I would watch. If we could watch just like people chipping onto a green, that could be fun.
There's your whole cam.
If I had a drink in hand, maybe.
Got a little whole cam there. Cam
the
hole.
Whole cam. Oh yeah. The whole cam. You got a little pina colada in your hand, sitting over there, fan blowing on you.
You would have a Long Island.
I love Long Islands. Yes, I do.
Can we just like...
Okay, but we've talked enough baseball. We've talked enough golf. There's some stuff happening in soccer. Drew, you were talking about Neymar earlier. What are your thoughts on all this Neymar drama?
Ugh, I hate it. I hate all of it. I hate every single second of it. He needs to just take his money and play the stupid game that he wanted so badly to play at the team that he so badly wanted to be at. I don't understand the problem at all. I had to control myself on the daily replay because that's just supposed to be news, and all I wanted to do was yell about Neymar. Like, Barcelona, the team that he wanted to get away from, is trying to do a loan deal with PSG to get him back. PSG's not going to take anything that's much less than what they paid to get him, and I don't blame them. You know, they gave him the king's ransom to get him there, and he's set to make $38 million this year. I don't know what the problem is. Just play the stupid game. He's alienated all the fans. PSG's getting nothing out of him, and now they're not going to let him go anywhere until he gets paid. I hate seeing star football players or players of any sport at all like whine about situations that they put themselves in where they're getting paid a stupid amount of money. Get over it. No one feels bad for you. Sorry. There you go. That's what I was holding in.
What a rant.
Wow.
So can you?
I just don't like him. He's a jerk. He has this giant ego, and he hasn't actually done anything beyond score some impressive goals, which I'm not saying is easy. But you're not a world power. You're not in competition for best player in the world because you're either hurt or you're sitting on the bench whining about the team that you're on.
Does Neymar look like the brother of Zeke Elliott holding out for Cowboys camp?
He really does. They could be twins right now.
And that's what it seems to me. I mean, both Zeke and Nate, they should be butt buddies. They should hang out with each other. I think maybe they have been hanging out with each other.
Maybe they are. Maybe they're both hanging out in Cabo, telling each other how great they are and that they don't need to go back to the teams that they supposedly care about.
Well, supposedly Zeke's working out. Do you guys really believe that? Ship or anything from the topic. I don't believe that.
No, I very much believe that just because that's what he likes to do. Like, he's a competitive guy. He likes playing sports. He likes being active. I don't think he's just chilling. I do think he's working out, if anything, to protect his own brand when he comes back. He doesn't want to do all of this and then come back and, you know, have a beer belly and not be able to run a 5-second 40. So I do think he's working out. He just needs to try working out his brain a little bit.
So is Neymar just holding out for? Is it just money? Is that what it is? That's it.
I don't
purely money.
Joey, do you know? No, he's willing to take less money to go back to Barcelona. I think he went to this other team, realized the audience just isn't as big, and he wants to go back to Barcelona where he was praised universally instead of being at PSG where he hasn't delivered what he promised and fans are tired of his attitude. Does that sum it up, Joey? Do you know better why he wants out of there?
Right, that's my understanding as well. He ended up taking a big money deal. He's moving to PSG. They're a club that likes to splash a lot of money, likes to move their way up in European competitions. But then when it came down to it, Barcelona just shows why they're one of the greatest teams in history over and over again, because they're always competing. Barcelona, Real Madrid, those just legendary Spanish organizations are always up there, always finding their way up to the top of the table. And I think that's the biggest issue here. Like, PSG is going to win France, most likely. But then when it comes to the European competitions, like a UEFA Champions League, they're going to compete, but they're not a Barcelona. They're going to fall short here and there, and they're going to fall short more often. Barcelona also just has such a rich fan base, such a rich academy system, that there's just so much history behind that club. And I think he realizes now, like, hey, the money was nice, but I don't have a chance of winning as much hardware as I did back at Barcelona.
I got to say, PSG not doing well in the Champions League this last time was their own fault. They were set up to win that whole thing, and they just blew it. Like, that's not even an organization issue. That's on, well, that's not, that has nothing to do with the organization's history or any of that. That was just that team underachieving. So if he wants to be upset about that, that's fine. He needs to realize that some of that's his own fault, and it's got nothing to do with the history of the organization.
I mean, when you go for money like that, it's a risk. Obviously, you get the contractual agreement that you want. Someone like a Bryce Harper signs a huge long-term deal with a lot of money on it. It's great, but now he's also stuck up in Philly. I'm a Phillies fan, even. I don't want to be stuck up in Philly. And it's the same kind of thing here. Like, Paris is a great city. I think Neymar enjoyed his time there, but he left a ton of history behind. He left a great fan base behind. And now he's realizing, like, hey, maybe money isn't everything in this. And he still wants money. Don't get me wrong. Neymar is not going to move for anything short of a pretty penny. But when it comes down to it, he made this decision based on money for the most part. At least we can speculate on that. Now he's realizing that, hey, maybe money isn't everything I wanted in this deal.
I'm glad you brought up that he still wants to get paid. Yeah, the speculation that I saw is he's willing to go from the $38 million he's set to make this year down to $20 million. So, yeah, it's a pay cut, but it's not like he's taking a veteran's minimum deal or something. It's still a stupid amount.
So instead of his house made of gold, he wants a house made of silver.
Yeah, with gold plating.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's considerable, though. What is it, $18 million, you said? 38
yeah,
to 20?
It's okay, roughly
Joey,
half.
What's the
difference?
I mean, what, really, like, what's $1 million? I mean, anything above $1 million, it's like kind of like, all right, great.
Yeah, but you're talking as if you're Yumi or Drew. You're not talking like you're a professional athlete that goes for these huge mega $1 million deals all the time. Like, athletes make this decision a lot, and a lot of the times they end up choosing the money. And if it's a few million here or there, yeah, but you're talking almost like over $15 million here. Again, it's a ton of money, and for us, that's millions upon millions. But at the same point, like, that's a significant cut over there. It's showing that he really wants to make that move that badly.
No.
He's got to convince Barcelona to pay for him, and I'm not sure they're that willing.
But see, the key here, and I might be wrong, but they also have to pay his release clause, and is where the big, big boy money is.
Well, that's what PSG wants. They basically want Barcelona to more or less pay them back. They want basically that. What I've heard, I think it was $220 million is what they paid to get Neymar. They basically want $200 million of that back. Like, okay, fine, we'll eat that $20 million for the time that we had him, but you owe us this much back. And apparently, also Barcelona's looking at paying it back in installments. If he would sign this, you know, if they would pay the transfer fee next year after the loan period. And again, that doesn't work for PSG. It's like, look, we gave you this chunk of money to get this guy. If we're going to lose him, we need a chunk of money back so we can go find someone else.
Money, 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 money.
Honestly, you tell Neymar to chill, because his release clause is going to drop down to 170 euros next year. So if they wait till next summer, you get a significant decrease of 50 million euros. That, to me, is the real kicker here. I mean, Neymar could play the hard card, like, hey, if you don't sign me now, I'm going to go to another club. Well, then, hey, you left us originally anyway, so screw you. I mean, to me, I say you wait it out. 50 million euros is a big chunk of change that you could spend on upgrading the team somewhere else or building up your academy system even more. So if I'm Barcelona, I wait it out here.
Yep. Play for the team you're on, Neymar. Win France this year. Compete at the European stage and just kind of get healthy. You've had some health issues for a lot of your career. Maybe work on the acting some, hire an acting coach, and try not to be any more gifs on the internet.
More money, more problems.
Now, I do have to credit PSG here, though. I love the fact that they wrote the contract where he's stuck there for 3 years without a release clause.
Yeah.
I think that's brilliant, because they know players like this will flip-flop here and there. To make it set up that way where they keep him for 3 years regardless gives them that real stability as far as marketing goes as well. Because you can sell a hell of a lot of jerseys in 3 years knowing that he's going to be stuck there. So, yeah, that's a good move there, Mr. Lawyer Man.
They clearly have some experience with this.
Absolutely. So, Jay-Z, taking over the NFL, good or bad? Which one of you lovely boys put this topic on?
Well, we didn't even talk about Antonio Brown or more of Zeke.
Do we want to talk more about Antonio Brown or Zeke?
Yes.
All right, go ahead, Drew. I mean,
we don't have to. We can move on to the Jay-Z thing if you want.
I mean, we spent a good 20 minutes of it last podcast. Does anyone change their opinion on AB and Zeke being whinies? Being little crybabies?
Other than the fact that he needs a better haircut.
I just don't know how Antonio Brown and his agent both thought that finding a 9-year-old helmet of a kind that wasn't certified was going to pass any sort of ruling from the NFL. That's dumb. Like, these are professional people, and that's dumb. That was all I was going to say.
I just don't want to give them the time of the day anymore. I feel like it's getting obnoxious at this point. Like, yes, I think there's some arguments, especially from Zeke's side, because he is being underpaid in a sense. But it's like Tyler said last week, like, he's got to prove himself. There's so much on the line here. He's a rookie deal still. And I mean, it makes sense. That's what rookies sign. So the fact that he's just coming out there looking for money, and Drew, you made a good point last week as well. He kind of screws the team over if he does this, because they only have so much salary cap room to move or work around with. And if he signs now as opposed to next year, it really shoots him in the foot for next year as far as bringing back some of their other stars. So for me, I think Zeke needs to cut it back a little bit. I think they need to come to an agreement. Maybe you raise him a little bit this year and then put in negotiations for next year. But I don't think Dallas should pay him his full asking price. And AB's got to get his issue. He needs to thaw out that toe over there, and he needs to chill out with the helmet.
Well, now the thing that I love with Zeke is this that's coming out, where Jerry made what was very clearly a pointed joke on Saturday saying, "Zeke who?" when he was asked a question after their preseason game. And for Zeke's agent to come out and say that they felt that that comment was disrespectful and they didn't appreciate it at all. Yeah, that's how you were supposed to feel. I think it's disrespectful that you're screwing over your teammates. So, you know, no one feels bad for you. That was it.
Absolutely.
A little therapy there for me, personally.
Amen, brother.
So, okay, now we can move on.
So right now Jay-Z has taken over the NFL, so he has this thing called Roc Nation that he started in 2013, and several NFL players have signed, including Saquon Barkley, NBA players like Kyrie Irving are part of this. And so he's supposedly going to invigorate the NFL with a better halftime show. And supposedly he's going to be part owner of an NFL team. So I'm kind of interested to see. I think he's almost a hypocrite, because he was kind of supporting Colin Kaepernick, and now he's just kind of sneaking a fast one and being like, yeah, I'm just getting some money. You know, helping out the NFL when he was opposed to the NFL a couple years ago, hanging out with Colin Kaepernick and supporting Colin Kaepernick. But I'm kind of more interested in, what NFL team do you think Jay-Z would own?
If I'm going for like a Jay-Z team, I feel like he looks for something like a New York or an LA, like a bigger city. At the same point, I just don't know if I see any of those teams up for sale at the moment.
Well, no, it'll only be a part-time. It'd only be part time. So whoever he would
gotcha.
he would bring on Colin Kaepernick.
It's probably the Jets, like the Showtime Jets. Like that's just very him. I don't know.
The Chargers are another candidate that could really use a bounce.
Yeah, but that organization and their whole like thing, it just doesn't fit with him. They're not flashy, which is ironic because they're Lightning. but they're not flashy. They're grindy. And yeah, Jay-Z is a hard worker, so you have some of that grind there. I can't deny that, but I don't know. I don't see his stamp going on the Chargers really well for that team and their fans.
It could be Las Vegas.
Huh?
Could be.
Could be some Las Vegas.
Yeah, they're a mess anyway. The Raiders are already a fire.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I'd love to hear your guys' opinions as well as far as listeners for the show. Where do you think Jay-Z will go if he ends up buying into an NFL team? Where will he be a part owner at? Hit us up on Twitter at CAMB Podcast to let us know your thoughts on that one, as well as emailing us, CAMBpodcast@otnmedia.org. We'd love to talk about any questions you have for us or about sports in general on the show, so hit us up there. Last but not least, you can find us on Patreon, patreon.com/OTN to support the show and the network here as well. It's been a great show, guys. It's been a great couple weeks doing the show. We've had an increase in listenership, like I said at the beginning. We'd love to keep that increasing. So if you have any suggestions, comments, questions, anything like that, hit us up on Twitter or email, and we'll see you again next week.
Does Adam Silver look like the wooden spoon that comes with an Italian icy?
This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.